early pandemic darling Peloton reports a $1.2 billion quarterly loss. Can it turn things around?
This is a business that grew fourfold during the pandemic, and it was flat from last quarter. So it's not as if there's a huge base of new subscribers that can be easily tapped right now.
And rising concerns over a Russian-controlled nuclear plant in Ukraine. Plus, why Washington, D.C. is home to dozens of police forces, including zoo cops. It's Thursday, August 25th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. A federal judge in Florida has ordered the Justice Department to release a redacted version of the affidavit that led to the FBI search of former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home by noon tomorrow. The decision comes after the DOJ submitted proposed redactions, which are expected to be significant earlier today. Several groups and media outlets, including the Wall Street Journal, petitioned the court to publicize the document. The government had argued that revealing too much of the affidavit could expose witnesses and jeopardize the ongoing investigation into Trump's handling of classified information. We report exclusively that the U.S. and China are close to a deal that would allow U.S. accounting regulators to inspect the audit records of Chinese companies that list in New York. That's according to people familiar with the matter. Such an agreement would resolve a years-long standoff. More than 200 Chinese companies currently listed in the U.S. risk being kicked off stock exchanges here in early 2024 if U.S. regulators can't conduct their inspections. China has previously been reluctant to allow the inspections, saying access to those documents and other data could threaten the country's national security. A power outage that left much of southern Ukraine without electricity for part of the day is stoking tensions over the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power station. The outage occurred after the plant was disconnected from the electrical grid, and Ukrainian and Russian officials are blaming each other for the incident. Russian troops seized the power station in early March and have started to move heavy weaponry onto the grounds. Since then, the surrounding area has been struck with dozens of missiles and rockets, though it's hard to know which side has been shelling the plant. Meanwhile, dozens of former senior government officials and non-proliferation experts are worried the occupation of the plant could lead to a radiological disaster, and they're urging the Biden administration to take action, including demanding an immediate inspection of the plant by the International Atomic Energy Agency. That's according to a private bipartisan letter to the White House viewed by the Wall Street Journal. In the U.S., mortgage rates are creeping up again. The average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage rose to 5.55% this week, according to Freddie Mac. That's the highest it's been since June, and it's nearly double the going rate just a year ago. Higher mortgage rates are forcing would-be buyers out of the market, and existing home sales have fallen for six straight months. And the U.S. Open will have one less returning champion this year. Serbian tennis star Novak Djokovic said today that he won't be competing in the tournament. The 21-time Grand Slam champion pulled out because he's not vaccinated against COVID-19 and would not be allowed to fly into the country, as U.S. travel rules require non-citizens to be inoculated. Coming up, Peloton's business was flying high early in the pandemic, but it just reported a $1.2 billion quarterly loss. Is there time for a turnaround? We'll discuss after the break.
Rapid expansion?
We're ready.
Worker shortage?
We're good.
Anything can change the world of work.
A celebrity buys the company.
Depends on who it is. But relax, we've got ADP.
From HR to payroll, ADP designs forward-thinking solutions to take on the next anything.
Bike and treadmill maker Peloton was a pandemic success story. But the company has seen a rapid reversal as pandemic restrictions have lifted and consumers have shifted their behavior. Its stock has lost 90% of its value in the past year. And today, Peloton reported a $1.2 billion loss in its latest quarter as revenue fell nearly 30% from a year ago. The company's CEO, Barry McCarthy, says Peloton will continue to spend more money than it brings in for the next several months. But he sounded an optimistic note on the prospects of a turnaround. Joining me now with more on the business is our consumer products reporter, Sharon Turlip. Hi, Sharon. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Sharon, we've talked about Peloton struggles on the show before, but let's just start with a recap of where we are right now. This was a company that saw sales soar during the pandemic with some customers waiting months for bike deliveries. And now it's really struggling with weaker demand. What went wrong here?
Yeah, I mean, the main thing that went wrong is Peloton, under its previous leadership, badly misjudged demand for its bikes. Demand exploded during the pandemic, and they thought that this demand would continue to grow, and they thought everybody who bought a bike during the pandemic would keep at it afterward.
So put this latest quarterly loss of $1.2 billion into perspective for us. The CEO says Peloton will continue to report losses in the near future. Where is all that money gone?
A lot of it's going to rescuing the business. It's going to downsizing. It's going to offloading manufacturing operations to third-party manufacturers. It's going to cutting jobs, restructuring, making changes to the bikes. It's most of it. And a lot of it's going to all this inventory of bikes that are just kind of sitting in warehouses right now, which is very expensive.
At the same time, Peloton CEO Barry McCarthy said in a letter to shareholders that he sees long-term progress. What is the plan going forward, and what's the viability for success? What will some of the major challenges there be?
Sure. I mean, this is a CEO who used to be the finance chief at Netflix, at Spotify, and he sees Peloton as a company more like that. He said today, you know, we're a U.S. maker of exercise equipment, and he thinks that Peloton should mainly be a subscription service where people pay to take these classes, and maybe they take it on a Peloton, and maybe they take it on, you know, some other kind of treadmill. But he thinks that it needs to have a totally different business model.
And what are the challenges to doing that, to going primarily to a subscription model?
Well, it's a difficult time for at-home fitness. So whether it's at-home equipment or connected fitness classes, people are going back to gyms, and they're also cutting spending. So even though the subscription business is doing better right now, this is a business that grew fourfold during the pandemic, and it was flat from last quarter. It's expected to be flat next quarter. So it's not as if there's a huge base of new subscribers that can be easily tapped right now.
Now, the earnings report came out just a day after Peloton announced it started selling its equipment and apparel on Amazon, which propelled Peloton actually to its biggest one-day gain since February. What does that mean for the company overall when we take this news together, the earnings report and the announcement that it's going to be selling on Amazon?
Sure. I mean, I think Peloton is trying to both demonstrate and in practice just try different business models, try different approaches. Part of this new CEO's approach is to kind of be more democratic. So, you know, you can maybe, you know, you can buy stuff on Amazon. You don't have to go to Peloton.com. So certainly it's a demonstration of change and openness to new ideas. And, you know, it's probably not a coincidence. I mean, I think any executive team, right before they report a difficult earnings, they want to demonstrate that they're taking action.
This is really a dramatic story from the height of the pandemic to where we see Peloton now. How are observers viewing this story?
You know, I mean, so it's interesting because certainly Peloton is losing more money than ever. Subscribership is flat. So there's a lot that's really bleak. But the language from this management team has been pretty blunt. It's been pretty straightforward. So far, the estimates have roughly fallen in line. You know, if you just look at investor reports and a lot of sentiment that, you know, the company is really struggling, but at least they seem to have a handle on reality now, which hadn't always been the case.
That's Wall Street Journal consumer products reporter Sharon Turlip. Sharon, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
And finally, the warm weather months bring throngs of attendees to the nation's zoos. They're hoping to get a little closer to nature. But who's responsible for keeping our zoos safe and orderly? Well, at the Smithsonian's National Zoo in Washington, D.C., there's an entire force of police officers whose daily tasks can include steering zoogoers clear of unruly or untidy animals. Wall Street Journal senior writer James Grimaldi says the park police are just one of a plethora of police forces in the nation's capital.
The National Zoo is run by the Smithsonian. It's the National Zoological Police. And it's one of the oldest zoos in the country, and it's also one of the oldest police forces. It's 123 years old, and they were created as like watchmen for the zoo. And over the years, because the National Zoo is sort of a strange animal on its own, it's neither part of the federal government nor part of Congress. It's was created as a national sort of institution, a federal trust instrumentality. And so they created this to protect the zoo, and over the years, they acquired various police powers, which is frankly not uncommon in the District of Columbia, where you have more than 30 police departments of various shape, form, and all different stripes.
And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.